You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints. We are brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. I am your host, Ross Jackson, and a big thank you and welcome to our newest listeners. Whether it's your first time or your next time, I always love hearing from everyone that tunes in, reads, and follows. So know that you can hit me up on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. And of course, that ASC stands for AllSaintsConsidered.com, where you can find my, as well as other talented writers, articles, and podcasts, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news, opinions, and analysis for Saints fans by Saints fans. And as they say, it is Wednesday, my dudes. And so usually I would have a crossover Wednesday here, but because the Saints don't have a game, I just get an extra sort of day to talk about what I want to talk about. So we're going to start by talking about one of my favorite topics of all time that's Saints related. That's Drew Brees. And then we're going to move on to the pro football focus grades that I usually give on Tuesdays, but with the Monday night game, they were a little delayed. So I'll get those to you. And then we'll finish up by talking about the biggest news from around the league. But first, I want to get started right away talking about Drew Brees. So I want to say real quick that I want to give a shout out to my homie Vernon. If you listen to this podcast, you might also listen to the All Saints Considered podcast. If you don't, I highly recommend it. That's me, Tyler, Alec, and Vern. And Vern last night went on an incredible rant, a not safe for work rant, but an incredible rant about Maurice Jones-Drew and James Jones talking about Drew Brees, essentially saying that Drew Brees isn't as good a quarterback as you say, because he just sits in the pocket and throws to the open receiver. And so I want to give Vern a shout out, first of all, because he had some great responses to both of these guys, these analysts, quote unquote, these experts talking trash about Drew Brees, literally while the game was still happening after he sets this all-time passing yards mark. So I want to chime in just a little bit, but I really want to direct you over to the All Saints Considered podcast so that you could check out what Vern had to say, because I just want to make sure that they get credit because they opened up this conversation. Not opened up the conversation, but they opened up the conversation for me. And so what I want to say here, and Vern makes a couple of points about if you're talking about how he's not that great because he doesn't have enough rings and football, blah, 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 it comes to that win-loss record and percentage, everything like that. And then basically what Vern said I'm not going to give it away. You got to go listen to it. But one of the things that I want to point out that they said was that they talked about how Drew Brees is just a quarterback that sits in the pocket and hits the open receiver. And the last time that I checked, that's exactly what a quarterback is supposed to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand from James Jones' perspective, he played with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers does a great job extending plays, creating plays, and things like that. But fortunately for Drew Brees, he plays in a system that he doesn't have to do that in order to make the offense work, right? So Drew Brees plays in a system that's designed to allow him to sit in the pocket and hit the open receiver. And whether that be short dump-off passes, whether that be screen passes, or whether that be plays that go for 40 yards down the field or 62 yards down the field in the midst of setting the all-time passing yardage record, then that just is as it is. But one of the biggest knocks that we always hear about college players coming out of college and coming into the NFL is that, he's just not a pro style quarterback. He can't really, Lamar Jackson got this all the time, and that there's a whole thing about that. But Lamar Jackson got this all the time about how, he's a great quarterback. He's got a great arm, but can he become a pocket passer? Can he sit in the pocket and hit the open man? And now all of a sudden, you got somebody that has made at least a 12-year career in New Orleans, just sitting in the pocket, a 17-year career total, sitting in a pocket and throwing to the open receiver, which is exactly what you say that players are supposed to be able to do before they come into the league. And you have the nerve to turn around and say, yeah, but all he does is sit in the pocket, throw to the open receiver. It's like, who are you? What are you even talking about? That doesn't make any sense at all. That's exactly what a quarterback is supposed to be able to do. You look at 31 other quarterbacks from around the league, and the ones that don't just sit in the pocket and throw to the open man, that scramble, that extend plays, y'all get mad at them for extending the plays and potentially risking, risking their health or risking a play. And, oh man, I wish he would just be able to sit in the pocket and everything like that. You know, like we talked about that with Tyrod Taylor. Big thing when I was talking to Jeff Lloyd from Locked On Browns about the Week 2 game, Browns and Saints, one of the things that Jeff Lloyd said was that we really don't like for Tyrod Taylor to get outside of the pocket and try to extend plays because that's not where the big plays come from. That's not where the team is going, right? So their team is specifically structured so that your offensive game plan allows you to sit in the pocket and make a pass, which is why Baker Mayfield makes so much sense in that system. This is a system that's designed for Drew Brees to sit in the pocket and make a pass. Green Bay's system is a system that had such offensive line problems for so long that it created issues for Aaron Rodgers, and they couldn't just sit in the pocket, so they had to design scrambles, or they had to allow him, or design rollouts rather, or he had to scramble. You can also look at Seattle the same way. Seattle, Russell Wilson, who's often drawn comparisons to Drew Brees for the only reason being that he's short. That's it. That's the only reason why he ever gets compared to Drew Brees, because he's not Drew Brees. He's not that good. He's not nearly as good as Drew Brees is, and he's not the player that Drew Brees is. He's a completely different kind of player. So let me not say he's not as good as Drew Brees. He's just not as good as Drew Brees in Drew Brees' game, because he's stuck in Seattle who's had horrible offensive line issues ever since they traded away Max Unger, and maybe a little bit before then. And, the only option that he has is to run for his life. Drew Brees is not in that situation. Drew Brees is in a situation in which he can do what a quarterback does and what a quarterback was essentially originally intended to do. Now, don't get me wrong, the game changes and everything like that. And Drew Brees knows that. That's why he spun off of two Falcons defenders and dove into a touchdown to tie up the game and throw it into overtime. So don't tell me that Drew Brees doesn't have the ability to do what you want him to do, because he doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have any of that. But, he'll make something happen if he needs to make something happen. He's mobile in the pocket. He gets away from sacks. He spins off of tackles. He steps out of, he steps up in the pocket, steps back in the pocket, does whatever it is that he needs. No, nobody steps back in the pocket, but he steps up in the pocket and he steps away from pressure and everything, and he does what he needs to do. You can look at the spin move that he put a couple years ago up against San Francisco before he threw that touchdown that I think was to Jimmy Graham in the red zone. And so, I mean, he has the ability to do what he needs to do to extend plays. He just does it in a different way. So don't tell me that Drew Brees is not as good a quarterback as Tom Brady, who also, by the way, sits in the pocket and throws the open receiver, and Aaron Rodgers, and even goes so far as to say that he's not as good a quarterback as, let's say, Troy Aikman, or as good a quarterback as, who was the other person that they brought up? Dan Marino, when he plays their game better than they did. I'm sorry, but you can't sit there and tell me that. So do I believe that Drew Brees should be included in the GOAT conversation? Absolutely, yes. In fact, I believe that he should be considered at least number two. If you're going to put him behind anybody, put him behind Brady, because he's done more in fewer games, which you heard me talk about in last episode, and he's also done more with lesser options. Right now, he's got the best options that he's had so far in New Orleans, and he's still in the system that works for him, and he's still paired off with Sean Payton. And so now they have a plethora of weapons at their disposal, and so things are only going to get better for Drew Brees, and he's only going to continue to get more and more hate, because that's all that it is. All right, when we come back, we're going to get started with the Pro Football Focus grades, and then we'll catch up on the biggest news from around the league. Stay tuned. Get all of your NBA previews this week at Locked On NBA. 6 teams a day, 5 days a week, 30 teams previewed by the local experts of Locked On NBA. Follow Locked On NBA on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. All right, y'all, there's no Saints game this week, so you're not getting any kind of scoring projection or scoring prediction from me at all, because I don't have a Saints game to talk about. But if you know what you're looking for this weekend, make sure that you check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, they've got great reviews online, and their mobile site is mad easy to use. I would only ever recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And MyBookie is slammed with new bettors right now, and they want to make sure that everyone gets the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now, and MyBookie will also match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000 if you use the promo code Locked On to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget the promo code Locked On, all one word, when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 of free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you can get an extra $25 by using promo code Locked On 25, just the numbers, Locked On 25. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take the extra money. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, family, welcome back. So we're going to be talking about some of these pro football focus grades in just a second. But first, I want to give a quick shout out to Fell Destroyed over on Reddit. As y'all know, every week I do the Reddit roundup. I go to the Saints subreddit and I go to the opposing team subreddit and I get thoughts and I present those on Friday before the weekend's game. And Fell Destroyed dropped a scoring prediction of 45 to 14 for this Washington game, which of course ended up being 43 to 19. So he was right in there, really close. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. He said, did say too, that one of the touchdowns would be in garbage time, which you can say that the second touchdown, the Alex Smith, no, not the Alex Smith rushing touchdown. Oh yeah, the Alex Smith, I can't remember which one it was, but that one of the touchdowns could have been, you know, could be considered garbage time. So he got that. He did say that Ingram would be player of the week. He didn't make player of the week. Drew Brees, however, was the offensive player of the week this week. But Mark Ingram did have two touchdowns. And of course, he also correctly predicted that Brees would secure his record. And that Crawley, knowing that his job was in jeopardy, finally steps up and really didn't have any choice but to step up this week because Marshawn Lattimore ended up getting hurt. And so Justin Hardy stepped in, and then Ken Crawley did actually step up, allowing only two catches on four targets for 19 yards and a first down, no touchdowns. So I just want to give a shout out. Fell Destroyed, you the homie. Good job there, man. Good job. He actually, I told him I was going to be doing that, and he was like, well, you know, as they say, broken clock is right twice a day. But, you know, you deserve your props, man. You deserve your props. So hopping over to Pro Football Focus real quick, I want to start, as we usually do, by talking about the offense, the top five offensive players. Drew Brees, 81.8, Traquan Smith 79.1, Ryan Ramczyk 77.8, Teron Armstead 77.1, Zach Line 76.4, and Taysom Hill comes in at a tight number 6 with a 74.9. Taysom Hill, of course, scored his first career touchdown on a run this week, so congratulations to Taysom Hill. I love the way that the Saints are using him. Y'all know that I was never a big fan of him as the heir apparent to Drew Brees or the successor or just as a quarterback, you know, as the quarterback behind Drew Brees. But the way that they've been using him and sort of this utility position that he's been playing, where he's been all over the offense, kind of like what the Ravens are doing with Lamar Jackson, but I dare say with better results so far with Taysom Hill, because he's like trucking defensive linemen to get first downs. He's outrunning defensive backs to get into the end zone. It's really incredible. So shout out Taysom Hill for the first career touchdown, which is kind of crazy. Because y'all know Taysom Hill's not a young guy. Like, I mean, he's only been in the league for a couple years, but he was born in 1990. He's 28 years old, because after he finished at Brigham Young, he went on his mission and then came back and then got into the NFL just last year when he was picked up as an undrafted free agent by Green Bay. So, you know, he's new to the league, but, you know, he's not a super young guy or anything. So, you know, shout out to him for being able to come into the league late and find a place. Because y'all know he's got the faster 40 than Christian McCaffrey, which we over at All Saints Considered love to talk about. It's my homie Tyler's like one of his favorite stats throughout there. Shout out Tyler. But also he's got a higher vertical leap than Antonio Brown. So he's athletic, and we all know that. So I'm glad that the Saints have found a way to get that involved and to get him involved and to help him find success. Traquan Smith, I told y'all, I said on Saturday's episode, I believe, that there was one player that had the ability to blow the game wide open for the Saints, and it was Traquan Smith stepping in to cover for Ted Ginn Jr., who was hurt, has a knee injury, and so he was out last week. Traquan Smith comes in, he catches three passes for 111 yards and two touchdowns, and all three catches that he had were important, by the way, or at least were pretty where at least were pretty, because he had the two touchdown passes, one of which was allowed by Josh Norman. Just throwing that out there. But one of them was caught, but was allowed by Josh Norman. And then the other catch that he had was, I can't remember how many yards it was, but it was that tiptoe catch that he had over on the left sideline that was just a beautiful play. And then, of course, Drew Brees, you know, Drew Brees did what Drew Brees does, an 89.6%, basically a 90% completion percentage. He also had one throwaway in that game, so the adjusted completion percentage is even higher than that. It's just incredible what Drew Brees has been able to do so far this season. He's got 11 touchdowns in the year. So far, he's the only quarterback right now with no interceptions. And I feel safe saying that because we're going into the bye week. So even if he throws an interception in week seven, it took him until week seven to throw an interception. So I don't feel like I'm jinxing anything. I feel perfectly fine with that. He's also leading the league in quarterback rating. I believe it's at 122.7 at the moment. And so, you know, I mean, look, there's a lot of people talking about potential MVP season for Drew Brees right now, and I'm one of them. I'm not gonna lie, I'm one of them. I would love to see him be able to accomplish that. I mean, he's sitting right now, let's see, his season completion percentage is 77.9, which is up after, remember in the New York Giants game, he only had like 56%. So he's sitting right now at 77.9%, 1,658 yards, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. And he's got a 122.3 NFL passer rating, my bad, 122.3, not 0.7. And that was after clocking a 153.2 against Washington. So, I mean, look, he's making it happen. That doesn't include his rushing touchdowns, too. He's got two rushing touchdowns and everything as well. And so, I mean, look, there's no denying that this dude is playing his heart out for the city right now and playing his heart out for his family and himself out there too, and for this team. I mean, that's the thing about Drew Brees. He's such a selfless person, and he's out there just playing his heart out for everybody involved. All right, so that's our offensive. And real quick, Mark Ingram, of course, had two rushing touchdowns in his game back. Let's see, he had a total of 53 yards on 16 attempts and two touchdowns, and then he added some receiving yards as well. He had, let's see right here, he had 15 receiving yards on three catches as well. So shout out Mark Ingram. Glad to have him back in the offense, because it's really, yeah, as you can see, it really just sort of helped the offense flow. Even though Alvin Kamara didn't get that involved, I think he only had 11 touches this game or something like that, or less. I said it yesterday, whatever it was. And he, even though he didn't get as involved as he has been for the beginning of the season and everything, he's still, you know, Mark Ingram being there has sort of helped make that happen regardless. Sorry, Alvin Kamara only had nine touches in his game. And so they talked to Alvin Kamara about it, and they were like, how do you feel about, you know, your drop in touches this game? And he's like, okay, I'm just glad to have Mark back. And so it's like a family unit, right? Like everybody eats, like when one person eats, everybody eats. And that's an amazing thing. And so having Mark Ingram out there, the defense was able to play better because, you know, Mark Ingram was able to pick up those, I think it was Alec on the ASC podcast yesterday, he talked about how he was able to help pick up those third and shorts and everything. I think we went 5 for 9 on third down this year. I'm sorry, this past game, which is great, which means, you know, not a lot of third down, didn't face a lot of third downs, and we converted most of them. So that's great. And so it's, you know, having Mark Ingram back is already paying dividends, and you can already see where the team missed him. You can already see it. So over on the defensive side of the ball, which we've talked about a little bit already, but David Onyemata comes in at number one with a 78.4 grade, Cameron Jordan 76.3, PJ Williams 74.6, Craig Robertson 71.6, and then Von Bell stays in that top five. Here he is again, 71.1. Shout out PJ Williams for breaking in to the top five there after struggling early in the season. PJ Williams actually played a hell of a game. He only allowed one catch on five targets for 24 yards. And I'm pretty sure that came on that last scoring drive by Washington late in the game. And that was a 24-yard catch that he allowed to Jamison Crowder. But other than that, he locked up. Adrian Peterson didn't get a catch on him. Chris Thompson also had a target, but no catch on him. And then he was really locking up Jamison Crowder until that one catch. And even still, I'd say he still locked him up. Other passing stats, I want to talk about Justin Hardy. Justin Hardy allowed only 4 receptions on 9 targets for 41 yards and didn't allow any touchdowns. He only allowed 1 first down. And then he also had that interception, of course, which was caused by some pressure. It was a combination of things. It was the pressure by Cameron Jordan, but it was also knocking off a couple of the routes that were coming around. They did a really good job with that, the defense, with knocking wide receivers, I'm sorry, not wide receivers, running backs and tight ends off of their routes to sort of allow pressure to get in and, you know, get coverage sacks and things like that. And so it's a great piece of game plan. It's something they've been doing a lot this season. It's one of the reasons why they've improved their coverage on pass catching running backs and tight ends, which is an article I still have on the way. My bad. I'm sorry. Things got busy. Don't hate me. But that's going to be coming soon. And then otherwise on the defense, 12 total quarterback hurries, one quarterback hit, three sacks. This is now the fourth game in a row. Nobody's talking about this, but this is the fourth game in a row that the Saints have had at least three sacks. They had 16 total pressures in this game, which is, well, much, much, much better than, let's say, week one, where they only had seven and no sacks. But in week two against Cleveland, they had four sacks. And then in each weeks three, four, and five, they've had three in each of those. One of those sacks went to Cameron Jordan, who has five on the year. The other one went to Marcus Davenport, who has two on the year. He also caused a fumble on that play. That was a strip sack, and that was recovered by AJ Klein, who was actually hurt earlier in the game, and then, you know, got him back. And so that was great. That's one of the reasons why Craig Robertson got some play time. Craig Robertson's hit on that 2-point conversion, by the way, was just filthy. That was just nasty. That was mean. He didn't even care, too. He just walked away. I think he had a big hit on a kick return, too. So shout out Craig Robinson. Craig Robinson's doing his work. Sorry, y'all. That's going to do it for the Pro Football Focus grades for right now. Stick around, because when we come back, we're going to talk about the biggest news from around the league. Yo, does your fantasy football team need a jolt? Because if so, the Locked On Network has you covered. We've got two great shows for you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gets you with all of the injury news, updates, and waiver wire moves that you need to know heading into your next week. And then Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Iyer has a different expert every day from around the fantasy world. So follow Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 and Locked On Fantasy Football on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Football. So Saints are going on a little bit of a road trip. They've got two games away after the bye, one in Baltimore, one in Minnesota. But then November 4th, they have an afternoon game back here at home against the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm going to tell you how to get there. It's through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, you can watch your favorite teams and artists perform in person, and they'll help you find seats to any of your favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. And they offer great prices with an easy purchasing experience. And now with the promo code Locked On, all one word, you can receive $20 off of orders $200 or more if you're a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. And of course, all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and enter the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off of orders $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats, and let Vivid Seats help you get to the game. Welcome back, Hootat Nation. We're going to finish off today's show by talking about some of the biggest news from around the league. It's, of course, the time right now, week six through week eight. All of the trade talk is starting to heat up. Trade deadline's approaching. Who's going to make moves? Everything like that. I don't really see the Saints making some moves. There is the potential to make a move for another linebacker like Deion Buchanan out of Arizona. Now seeing that Tre'Quan Smith has sort of found his role, or potentially has found his role as the deep threat. Ted Ginn Jr. could be a piece. They could still be looking to trade for somebody to get some help in the secondary. I don't know. Deion Buchanan is somebody that can play safety and linebacker. He could be somebody that could serve the role much like what Kurt Coleman was supposed to serve, but Von Bell is playing outstanding right now. So I really don't really see the Saints making any big moves right now coming up with the trade deadline. However, one of the biggest stories that's out right now is that the Eagles are apparently in consideration to make a trade to bring LeSean McCoy from Buffalo back to Philly. Of course, they're dealing with Jay Ajayi having just gone on IR. And then of course, LeGarrette Blount is now in Detroit Chris Clement's doing okay, but you know, they're really looking for somebody that can come in and be a part of that offense. And so right now, just a big trade target to keep an eye on if you're not talking about Le'Veon Bell, of course, because Le'Veon Bell could be on the move, but LeSean McCoy could be somebody that's also on the move. And it's just nice, like looking at this from the Saints perspective, it's just nice to not have to worry about your running back situation. We've got Mark Ingram, we've got Alvin Kamara, we've got Boston Scott over on the practice squad. If we wanted to make a move for a running back, I would go nuts because there's no reason to do it. There's absolutely no reason to do it. it because we're just in such a good place when it comes to running back. So I'm grateful for that. However, a move to take a look at for the future, especially if the Saints are still looking at safety help at some point later on after they finally, when they finally decide to move on from Kurt Coleman, because obviously, right, as of right now, at least for the first 5 weeks, that has not been working out. Clinton Dix just recently said that he believes that his days in Green Bay might be coming to an end. And I got to tell you, I mean, last year, Morgan Burnett was a potential signing, and I thought that Morgan Burnett would have fit beautifully in this defense. And I think the same thing for Clinton Dix, who has the ability to play both safety positions. So he's somebody that also plays well against the line of scrimmage, or up, you know, up tight with the line of scrimmage. And he could be somebody as, you know, potential target later on through free agency. He's probably going to want too much money though. So I don't really know where he, if he fits in terms of the pocketbook conversation, but it's interesting to sort of be in the middle of your season with Green Bay and just kind of be like, yeah, I think I'm about done here. He's not even in the middle. This is really only a third of the way through. So it's kind of crazy to have that kind of talk coming out so simple, or coming out so early. Lastly, I just want to give one more shout out. I want to end the show the way that I started the show. And I want to give a quick shout out to the man himself, the GOAT, best quarterback of all time, Drew Brees. Drew Brees is who I'm talking about here, because I want, you know, Drew Brees was nominated, rightfully so, and selected as the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He pairs along with Isaiah Crowell, who was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Drew Brees, of course, threw for 26 of 29 for 363 yards and 3 touchdowns. Right now, he sits at 11 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, no interceptions, just having an incredible year. And right now, he's completing 77.8% of his passes. Don't forget, Drew Brees owns number 1, number 3, and number 4 in the top 5 for that record. So look for him to keep chasing that and to keep adding to it. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for me today. Make sure that you come back tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about my expectations for the rest of the season. I'm going to be doing some awards for the first 5 games of the season, offensive MVP, defensive MVP, most improved, all of that. I'm going to start that tomorrow. I'm going to be doing that through the rest of the week. And then I've got a special guest coming on to talk about our draft profile Thursday segment. That'll be our second segment tomorrow. Who are some players out of Ohio State specifically that we can be looking for in the 2019 draft? Locked On Buckeyes host Matt Hayes comes through for that. Really looking forward to chatting with the homie about that and bringing that to y'all. So that's going to do it for me today, y'all. Thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and him. Find Locked On Saints on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever it is that you get your podcast from. Just be sure to subscribe so that you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Rate, review, share, retweet. Thank you so much for all your support. I see it. I feel it. I love it. I appreciate it. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.
Hey everyone, Jake Madison here, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Basketball season is upon us and big things are in store for the Pelicans after making the playoffs last year. Keep up with everything going on around Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and the rest of the team with the daily Locked On Pelicans podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.